Blog Talk Radio.
You are muted.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to wait just a couple more seconds here for us to get on Facebook Live, and then we will get everything rolling. Happy Saturday. Happy morning to you. Happy morning. I like that.
Sounds like a new greeting there, Peter.
Happy morning to everyone who is chiming on the chat. That is a new thing now. Happy morning. We are getting rolling in just a few seconds. It is a happy morning. It is a happy morning. And I desire it to be a happy morning for you wherever you are. We are almost ready to get on Facebook Live any second now. I know I'm going to get the green light, and we will get things rolling.
I just want to just make sure that Deborah knows she has the password to go live on Facebook, so she is the host. Deborah. So while we're waiting, Peter, you know, we can just have a little chat with our audience and ask them if they have any questions that they would like to ask, if they can put those in the chat.
Such a great idea there, Anne. Thank you so much. Happy morning to you as well. And happy morning to all of you who are watching right now as we work through our technical difficulties. I see Eva, happy morning to you. Esther, happy morning to you. Any questions about desire, even leading up to us diving into this chapter, the first chapter of Napoleon Hill's great book, Think and Grow Rich? I desire for you to have a happy morning, but I also desire for you to have that level of desire in your life to accomplish anything that you dream of. And today I dream for a flawless show today, and it will be flawless.
It's going to be one of the best shows ever.
Today's a great day. It is lots of stuff going on in our world today. Anne McNeil, correct?
Especially this afternoon.
Absolutely, yes, indeed.
And I hope a lot of our participants on Zoom are able to, you know, participate with us as we talk about their annual meeting for their life.
We might be able to tease that a little bit early as well. That would be nice. Tease it. As we're waiting on Facebook Live, Galen, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. I love that jacket, man. You're looking good.
Thank you. Thank you. Someone said, you know, I have a curious side to me, so I wanted to make sure I brought it out this morning. How are you doing, sir?
Fantastic. Fantastic. This has been an amazing week. And I can think of no place better to cherry top my amazing week than here.
Nice, nice. Miss Ursula, good morning to you. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you, and indeed it is. And I have to tell you, the number of times that you said desire reminded me of our little superstar last week, because she made sure we understood that she was talking about desire. And so the babies teach the adults, I will learn or have learned that if I desire it, I have to say it.
And for those of you who have no clue what we're talking about, please take some minutes to go back, maybe later on this weekend, to go back and review last week's show. Listen and watch last week's show. It was phenomenal. We had some young people on board that really were providing to us how desire, but also just how Think and Grow Rich has helped their young lives as well. And it was really something to behold. So, yeah, thank you for that reminder there, Ursula.
And actually, they will be a part of the program today, too.
That is great. That is good.
And bringing their bringing their goals with them to discuss with the adults, to show the adults how they should write their own annual report for their life. It's going to be amazing.
Very nice. I'm looking forward to that. I am so looking forward to learn how to do that.
So I hope you bring your report for your life with you.
I will bring it for sure. It has been updated. But, you know, I know there's more updates to be had there. And,
you know. So you know I was going to say something, right? Tell him Galen.
Hey, he knows the drill. He knows the drill. I would love to hear from the folks in the audience already. If you can put a yes or a no in the chat, if you are planning to attend the virtual annual meeting for your life this afternoon. So just everybody's got to respond. You either say amen or say ouch. I want to hear an amen, I'm going to be there, or ouch, ooh.
And for those of us who are clueless a little bit about what that is, perhaps we can provide a link. If we could provide a link for those who have question marks or unsure of if they are attending or would like to attend, maybe we can put that in the chat for them so that they can dive on in.
So now how is it that the pastor in the audience missed the instructions about amen or ouch? Reverend Bingham?
Amen or ouch, huh?
And Sean Chavis, good friend and member of the Inspired Mastermind Masterclass, is wanting information about the annual meeting. So if there's a link that we could put in the chat, she would appreciate that.
Good stuff today. Suggest that we perhaps get started in about a minute or so, and then we'll just let the technology catch up with us. Before we do, however, we do now have the link for the 2021 annual virtual meeting, which will be held today from 1 to 5 p.m. Eastern time. See the link in the chat. If you don't know what we're talking about, now you know. Now you can really provide the amen or the ouches.
But I'd also like to do, since we are waiting, and I apologize, I had to turn the host over to Deborah, but anybody who's in the chat that has ever attended the annual meeting for your life, you know, may not be, you know, we're not live yet. You can come on, turn your camera on, and allow you to share.
Well, at least turn their sound on.
I'm sorry, turn your sound on. You can't turn your camera on, but you can turn your sound on. Let me see whose name can I call here.
Oh. There's a chance that Ms. Ann might be kidding about calling someone out.
No, we have Carolyn Clarkson. She's been before. Esther Lambert, she's been before. We have, let's see who else, Ron Williams, Regis Bingham. Wyman, oh my goodness. Wyman, you can turn your voice, unmute yourself and share. I don't know, can they unmute themselves though? I don't know if they can unmute themselves on a webinar.
They may not be able to.
Although in that case.
Unless they're given specific, unless it's opened up specifically for that. That's okay. They're very responsive in the chat.
Well, he can chat it then. He can read it. This is going to be a great show.
It will be.
It already is.
It already is, absolutely.
I make a suggestion. Why don't we go ahead and start, and we can restart when we see that, because I'm excited to talk about...
Your desire? I'm excited to find out about the desire in your life there, Ann McNeil, and I'm sure our guests, our participants, or those who are listening in are also... We might lead off with you today, if that's okay, Ann McNeil.
I don't have a problem with that, but let's give value to the people that did show up, even though we're waiting, and we want to thank all of you for waiting with us, and you've all been here before. Excuse me. But as leaders, we know that everything starts with a desire. And in preparation for the show today, I realized again and again and again in the rereading of this, my life is like Barnes, when he decided that he was going to go to Orange and go into business with Edison. It took him 5 years. As I reflected on my own life and I thought about my story starting with a desire to save $1,000, I didn't realize really until this morning, it literally took me 5 years, literally, to get out of the debt and be able to save. But the power that I got from the rereading of this chapter this morning is the fact that just like Barnes, I didn't quit. And then I thought of all of you, what if I quit? Mm-hmm. And that burning desire, and what the other thing that came up for me this morning was the word burning desire, not just a passive desire, but a burning desire. For me, it was a burning desire to save $1,000. And I think back on that now, and now my goal is to be able to save passive $1,000, passive a day, by putting systems and processes in place. Now, it may happen in my lifetime, may not, but the whole point is that my desire is a burning desire to create systems and processes and work with platforms and learn different things. Thank you, Gavin, for Clubhouse. But different platforms to be able to share the message, because it's not so much about the money at this point. It's more about being able to share the message in the spirit of service. And so that was such an aha moment for me. And what I want to talk about, we'll talk about this later, is when you go to the self-inventory section of the book, when Napoleon Hill says that every year you should have a self-analysis. And actually, why don't we make this is a master class. So class, if you have your book, please turn with me. This is my sermon while we're waiting. Please turn with me. I need everybody. Y'all looking at me? You pick up your book. All the names that I've called, pick, yes, I'm talking to the chat. And if you go to, because I don't want to just have you go to the page. I want you to go to the index of your book. And I want you to look up the section that says personal inventory. If you go to your index on page 377, it will tell you that personal inventory is on page 136. So I'll take my text from page 136. This is going to be the best day ever.
I'm loving it already.
Now, if can everybody, are you on page, okay. The page I really want is page 133. Okay, everybody's got page 133. I want all of you to read along with me. Page 133 says, take inventory of yourself. Now, don't take inventory of me. Don't take inventory of us. But each of you, I want you to take inventory of yourself. And if you don't have the book that we're using, if you go to Google and Google Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, inventory of yourself, 28 questions you should consider. This information will come up. And this is why I think, now I would say this because I am a Christian. I'm very proud to say that. Just for the benefit of all of you, we have had so many technical difficulties this morning, starting with my laptop not working. We tried for 2 hours. I had to get another laptop for the show. And then to have the situation where we come on and we cannot go live. I said to myself as a prayer, we prayed before the show started, this devil is a liar, and we are going to have the very best show ever because you are now, each of you, part of this show. And so this is the show we're supposed to have, whether we go live on Facebook or not. These are the words of the book, and I want each of you to read these along with me and along with our co-host. Napoleon Hill says this, annual self-analysis is an essential in the effective marketing of personal services, as is annual inventory in merchandising. Now, sit with that for a moment. If you own a business and you do a financial analysis every year, you take inventory of your products, and Galen was in the, you know, franchise business, and at the end of every year, everybody takes an assessment of your inventory for your business, especially if you sell merchandise before you start in the year. Napoleon Hill is saying, look, if you can take inventory of your merchandise, you must take inventory of your life. Then he goes on to say, moreover, the yearly analysis should disclose a decrease in faults and an increase in virtues. One goes ahead, stands still, or goes backward in life. Object should be, of course, to go ahead. Annual self-analysis will disclose whether advancement has been made, and if so, how much? This is why we have to quantify everything. If so, how much, Galen? If so, how much, drill down. If so, how much progress have you made compared to what you said? It will also disclose any backward steps you may have made. The effective marketing of personal services requires one to move forward even if the progress is slow. Your annual analysis should be made at the end of each year. And for those of you that didn't register, you still can register by going to text the word ANN at 55678. Text the word ANN at 55678. Your annual analysis should be made at the end of each year, so that you can include your New Year's resolution. Any improvement which the analysis indicates should be made. take this inventory by asking yourself the following questions and by checking your answers with the aid of someone, moi, who will not permit you, moi, to deceive yourself of their accuracy. Now, I'm going to stop there, and I will say that I have been doing this exercise for 40 years now, literally 40 years, starting with one sheet of paper. And now my annual report, and some of you have seen it, is in excess of 600 pages. I was sharing with Galen earlier, every year I drill down deeper and deeper in my goals and quantify 5 businesses, and each one of these businesses, we do a self-analysis of the company, and we do a self-analysis of our lives. And for those individuals that work with me, and some of them are listening, you know it to be true. I ask each of you, where is your annual report? Because if you don't understand where you're going, how can you help me get to where I'm going? And if I don't understand where I'm going with a strategy and plans that go out way past my life, 100 years, 50 years, 20 years, if I don't understand that, how can I help you get to where you're going as a strategic partner? And I say this to my clients. Yes, I say this to my clients. Why? Because if you don't have a desire, a burning desire for something greater than yourself, so I'm a Rotarian, and we talk about service above self. If you don't have something you're aspiring to do past the money, yes, past the material things. I had a conversation with one of our masterminders, a young lady that I'm coaching, and yesterday she said about our annual meeting that we do in November, I do a retreat, and she was sharing with one of the other ladies. She said, you know, I had a fire in my home, and I thought about, as I was walking through my burned ashes of the Gucci bags and the shoes and the clothes and all of the thousands of dollars that I spent on all of that. I keep talking to someone else about my retreat that I host in November. She said, and I decided I am worthy of investing in myself and investing in a coach and investing in a consultant. I'm standing by listening to her talk to someone else about what benefits she's getting. And I want to share this with all of you. Think about all of the stuff we buy, the house, the car, the stuff. But then we're not willing to invest in a coach. You're not willing to invest in a consultant. You're not willing to invest in your own life to have a written plan for your life that's going to go out 5, 10, 20, 50 years for your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. So I don't know if Facebook is coming, but I know that this will be our tribute to each one of you. And I want to challenge you, literally, if you have not registered yet today, you can still participate. We have a process that is proven is 40 years plus. But if you have an excuse, no problem. You can still text the word ANN at 55678. And we will follow up with you and help you to create a annual report for your life, starting with your mission, your vision, your affirmation, the 10 areas of your life, a survey that will help you write the questions and help you with answers. And I could go on and on, of course, but I just want to just thank God and the devil for being busy and all of the challenges, because if he had not done that, then we would not be doing this. And that's why I think that this show, like no other, is really more about you. It's not about us. And many of you come on, and you come on, and you come on, and you listen, but you're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Pick up the book. If you do nothing but write one goal, whatever it is, you're going to go to the doctor. Whatever it is, you're going to have a date night with your spouse. Whatever it is, you're going to take your child out once a month. Something that you're going to be held accountable for. So I want to just thank all of you. Peter, I'll turn this back over to you.
I have no idea why the chat is so quiet.
They're quiet.
No idea why the chat is so quiet. Oh, my gosh.
But, ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the words of the master builder, Ann McNeil, who blessed us this morning with her insight from this book, Think and Grow Rich, that we talk about every day. My name is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the High Performance Coach, and we are formally getting started with today's masterclass. And what you just heard Ann McNeil read was from page 133 of this book, where Napoleon Hill asked us to take inventory of ourselves. And two things that really resonated with me, and then I'm going to pass it over to Galen, just ask him the same thing, from what Ann McNeil has just mentioned here. On page 133, Napoleon Hill says, take this inventory by asking yourself the following questions. But then he goes on to say, by checking your answers with the aid of someone who will not permit you to deceive yourself. Do we deceive ourselves? Do we do that to ourselves? Do we sometimes lie to ourselves? And I love that sentence there, because what it says, that Galen and I are very fond of coaching, right? Who is that individual in your life that is going to hold you accountable, that is going to say to you, is that really what you need to be doing? Is that really what you're saying here? Oftentimes, we don't have that individual who will hold us accountable. And Napoleon Hill is saying this right up front before he even goes into those 28 questions. The other thing that I really resonated for me from Ann McNeil was she talked about the point in her life where she really the switch turned. But then she also followed it up to say that it really took 5 years thereafter, right, to maybe get momentum and or to get things going. But what happened in the period of that 5 years, right? I often like to call them the things that come along are roadblocks, hurdles, obstacles. And you have to have a great level of desire to get through those. You see, in chapter one, this desire chapter, Napoleon Hill says there is a difference between wishing for a thing and being ready to receive it. You are never ready for it until you believe that you can acquire it. But what needs to happen to have this belief? The state of mind, your mindset must be the belief, not mere hope or wish. Open-mindedness is essential. Closed minds, fixed minds do not inspire faith, courage, and belief. Galen, so I'm going to pass the baton over to you, sir. I'm going to ask you first maybe to give us an overview of these 13 steps from this book, but then also follow that up, if possible, with what resonated from what Ann McNeil just provided for us, which is deep.
Yeah. So first of all, this is really the foundation of this entire success formula. And I want just a quick shout out to several of the members of the Inspired Mastermind course that just started last week. I'm just so excited about this process. And this is a process. This is a formula. We could talk about desire, and we have been talking about desire by itself already, but it fits into an overall formula. And so before we jump in and go further, let's take a listen to and watch a video that talks about all 13 steps and how and why desire sits at the foundation of everything that Napoleon Hill talks about.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill said that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith, having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what we call autosuggestion. Autosuggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds, will receive everything automatically. But we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because those positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number 4 is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. Step number 5 is imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts, the burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to take a look at step 6, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought. We go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number 7 is decision. What Napoleon Hill said is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill said that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step 8 is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books I love, even the title, 3 Feet from Gold. Those people who became rich during the gold rush in the wild, wild west days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anyone else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody has someone who helped them get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us, use the thoughts, use the knowledge, use the exploration of other people to help us in achieving our goal. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical, but what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of step 10, which is sex transmutation. Step number 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of autosuggestion and what we're feeding into our mind. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. Final step number 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. This is the final step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles.
All right, and there you have it, the entire success formula as accumulated by Napoleon Hill. This is actually the success formula that Andrew Carnegie used to accumulate his wealth, and he gave Napoleon Hill the opportunity to codify that process. And so if it works for Andrew Carnegie, if it works for Thomas Edison, if it works for all these people in history, and then people in the present, such as Ms. Ann McNeil, then I feel obligated to give it a shot in my own life. One of the questions that you asked, Peter, was how do we make this personal? What's the personal impact of this chapter, of this principle on desire? I started rereading this at the beginning, partially because we've just launched the Inspired Mastermind Group, and I've got several members here in the audience. And so I was forced to reread it as opposed to just going off of my own memory. And the first page of this chapter hit me really, really hard. And I'm going to jump down to page 25, where it talks about chapter 1, desire. And if you go four paragraphs down, they've been talking about this meeting between Edwin Barnes and this desire he had to work with the great Thomas Edison. Not work for, but to work with. And if you go down like four paragraphs, this paragraph really kind of stopped me in my tracks. He said the desire was not new when he approached Edison. It had been Barnes' dominating desire for a long time. In the beginning, when the desire first appeared in his mind, it may have been and probably was only a wish, but it was no mere wish when he appeared before Edison with it. When I read that, it really hit me hard because I had to reflect on what is that thing that I have been longing for a long time. Mm-hmm. And when I think back to some of the early days, 14, 15 years old, I first started to become aware of the President of the United States. I first started to become aware of what that role and responsibility might be. And automatically, I got enamored not by the president. Who's his chief of staff? And who's the person telling the president what's important and what he should focus on and the information that he should receive and the people that he should meet? And I got enamored by that person. And at that point, I decided I wanted to be that person that was advising the people out front, the people that were making decisions, the people that were guiding industry. I wanted to be the person that they knew I need to go to Galen Bingham to get advice on how to do this thing better. Now fast forward, get into life, get into the world, get education and all this fancy stuff and start pursuing the trappings of life and start trying to be up front, and I want to be the president, and I want to do this, and I want to run that. And I've had some success, but my longing has always been to be the person advising the one out front. And so now, I'm in a space where I am paid to do just that. My job is to make other people better. And it's so funny to me that although I've had success being out front, and I have no problem being out front, I get so much more joy out of supporting other people who are out front, giving them the nuance so I can sit back and see what's going on and then give them the advice on how to get better. So that's how this desire has really helped me. And I'm going to give some credit to Ann McNeil, because when she and I first met, I was in the space of trying to be out front. I think I even said, hey, I want to be the next Les Brown, and I want to do these things where I'm out front. And Ann continued to watch and advise and say, hey, I'm not getting the sense that you really want to do the things that's required to be out front. And she challenged me to get in touch with what is that thing that I've wanted to do for the longest time. And now, people that I meet and people that I advise, they even say, there's a sparkle in your eye when I hear you talking about things to make other people better that I don't see when it's you that's being pushed out front. So the desire, you asked, Peter, and I'll turn this back over to you. You asked, do we deceive ourselves? We absolutely do deceive ourselves. And that deception is influenced by what the world tells us we should be pursuing rather than what our heart tells us we should be pursuing. And Napoleon Hill says that's the foundation for any success that we hope to have.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the leadership strategist, Galen Bingham, as he has provided what desire has looked like in his life. And now, listen, we have another distinguished panelist on our show today, and she has been oh so patient through our technical difficulties and our insight on desire. And Miss Sula II Ursula Odom, I have to ask you this morning about desire or even anything that has resonated from you this morning, whether it has been from Galen or from Ann or from myself. What does desire mean to you, and what has resonated around this conversation as you come off of mute?
Very observant. I had no idea I was on mute. Thank you very much. Teamwork makes the dream work. Okay, so desire for me, you know, I changed my virtual background so that it would show you about dreaming. I have no idea what just happened.
Well, you are good. You are fine there. Ursula.
Oh, my computer is telling me all kinds of crazy stuff. But okay.
You are fine.
My turn. Sorry, but I'm doing it. So anyway, the backdrop is to remind me to speak about dreams and desires and the things that is inside that is waiting to grow. And when I think of that, then I go to page 32. And what resonates for me is, down at the bottom, it says, the world has become accustomed to new discoveries. It has shown a willingness to reward the dreamer who gives the world a new idea. The greatest achievement was at first and for a time a dream. The oak sleeps in the acorn. The bird waits in the egg. And in the highest vision of the soul, a waking angel stirs. Dreams are the seedlings of reality. And for someone who likes to play around in the garden, I love seeing that one little seed that you drop it into water, drop it in the dirt, and it has everything it needs in order to get to the first point where it's ready to go into the ground, because it can survive. It can become alive and ready to be fed more information. And the annual meeting is feeding you more information. So you have that seed. You have that new growth. Now it's time to turn it into an oak tree. That's what I get from all of this. So, I'm a work backwards. This past weekend, no, it wasn't. It was sometime a couple of days ago. Anyway, I had the desire to complete a task that was challenged, that I was challenged with, and it was to stream live. Well, I took my phone, went out to the park where I'm about to give a walking tour of, and decided I was going to focus on one thing and highlight that. It's about African-American history, but the park is full of wonderful art, absolutely extraordinary art, and it hit me like a ton of bricks that we don't talk about that. So I simply focused on the art and trying to complete a task. And then I planned to just take the thing down and work on it and maybe reload it or something. By the time I got home, I had all these wonderful messages, people talking about signing up for the tour, talking about coming down to the park and looking at the art. I said, okay, Miss Ann, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't even good, but it worked. But I had desire to complete that task and to do good. I really, truly wanted people to see this art. And apparently that's what came through. And then on a personal basis, when I think in terms of desire, I go all the way back to the first part of my career. Starting out at DTE Data Services in the computer services department, we were writing systems, documenting systems, and installing and training on them. So, newbie, I just told somebody I wanted to travel. I told every single person that came within earshot of me that I wanted to travel. I want to travel. I want to travel. So there was no doubt. Management, peers, they knew that Ursula wanted to travel. This little country girl wanted to get on a plane and go somewhere. And so I almost called his name. I won't do that. Somebody decided to get married and couldn't go on a trip. And they asked me, Ursula, you want to go? You think you can handle it? And inside I went, oh! And then I said, yeah, sure. and I went on my first business trip to San Angelo, Texas. And God forbid, in 11 days, I gained 11 pounds. But nevertheless, all at stake. But after that, my second trip was to Hawaii. And, man, after that, I traveled like 50% of a month. So 2 weeks out of the month, I was gone. I didn't have a chance to even think about wanting to have a vacation because every trip was a vacation. I'd go in on Friday or Saturday, go to work on Monday. But by the time I got to work on Monday, I had done everything I wanted to do. And then I'll tag something on the end of it and play around the next weekend too. So I was good. But it started with a burning desire to travel and then letting somebody know. Now, my current burning desire is to be in Washington, D.C. when they unveil Mary McLeod Bethune's statue in Statuary Hall. That is a burning desire, and I'll talk more about that another day. But I am Ursula Odom of Sula 2, and we make all new in everything we do.
Love that, Ursula. You know, sometimes we have to be careful what we dream and desire for as well, because it manifests overall. And I love what you have just described there, Ursula. You know, oftentimes we're not even ready for what we are dreaming and desiring for. So in that time frame that you're dreaming and desiring, what are the steps you are putting in place? How are you preparing to be ready for when it happens?
Oh, right. You know, for a shy person, when I'm not confident about something, you can tell it. It's written all over me. It comes all out. I just, you know, So I know in order to be ready, I have to get ready. I have to prepare myself. And so when someone says, can you do it? Well, I have 75 to 80% of the stuff sitting on the shelf ready to go.
Nice. I like that. I like that. How are you getting ready for what's about to happen to you as well? This is some good stuff here, and we are getting close to the top of the hour, so I don't want to forget anything that we're supposed to be talking about today. So I'm going to pass the baton again back over to Ann McNeil for a couple of different things. Ann McNeil, there is a phenomenal event that is going on today, and I want you to talk about that. And then when you're finished, hopefully maybe you can give us even some ahas about desire that you're going to take with you moving forward, and then, of course, let us know how to get in touch with you. So, Amy, now, I know that was a lot of stuff I just asked there, but maybe the first thing is about this accountability meeting as you come off of mute.
In the event, those of you that are watching live or on Zoom, when I reached down to go into a box, and I just asked my daughter to bring me this box in preparation for this question. Galen, we talked about this at the annual meeting, and I think that a picture is worth a thousand words about the annual meeting. When I started the annual meeting reporting for my own life, along with our mastermind group of 10 women, it started as one page. And very simply with the six steps to riches, which we call the six keys to riches. When Napoleon Hill asked, how much do you want? What are you going to do? By when do you want it by? What is your plan? Write an affirmation statement. And then number six, recite it twice a day. That one page turned into many pages. Many, many pages. We then read a book entitled Success, the Glenn Bland Method. Glenn Bland wrote a book, From Thinking Grow Rich, after reading it overnight while on a flight. And he wrote that book using the principles of Thinking Grow Rich, Success Philosophy, with the Proverbs insertion. But what he did was he turned the one page into four categories of his life: family, financial, spiritual.
and health. We took those four categories, and over time, for my life, I eventually turned them into 10 categories: spiritual, family, financial, education, health, personal development, your business or your career, your recreation, creativity, and civic. And I set those goals for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, and back then I set it for 40 years in the future. Couldn't see it, didn't think it was possible. Well, I would tell all of you right now, I am in my 40th year right now. So the plans I wrote then, I'm living now. 5 businesses later. Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why I just asked my daughter to bring this, and Gaylen, you know what I'm going to show. This is my annual report now. Last year, you can't hardly see this, but you can let's see how to do this.
We can see it. We can see it.
Okay. This is last year, 2020. That's my report for 2020. 2021, which is what we're in right now. This is it.
So it's how thick again? Yeah, wow. Wow.
I had to get a bigger binder. Now, what's my point in sharing this? I'm not asking anybody to do that. That's not my point. My point is this. Start where you are. We have a simple survey that lists the 10 areas of your life, and it asks you questions. You can text me. I'm going to say this until you get it, because I never want any one of you who are listening to us live or in person or later to ever say, I can't reach my goals because I did not know how. I never want that. It's like my salvation with people that come close to me. If you're close to me any length of time, I will be talking about my joy. And for those of you that know what I'm talking about, you get it. Those of you that don't, you can get it on the way home. All right? But I say that because that's the crux of your annual report for your life. Where is it written? What is your mission? What is your vision? Many of us have jobs and we are involved in businesses, whether for-profit or not-for-profit or corporate or whatever. They have a mission for the organization. They have plans. Where are your plans? And I cannot say that enough. So, Peter, I'm going to turn it back over to you, but I would say my big aha from this whole entire conversation is this. When you have a burning desire from this chapter and this principle, you stay ready. You stay ready. And I think that each one of us have demonstrated that today. We each have a burning desire for that which we have each been called to do, and that's to serve. But I also understand this too. We don't respect what we don't pay for. And I've done this for years, giving it away for free. Okay, now, only for a $179 investment, that's free. That's free. But if it's not for you, it's not for you. I cut my hair. I have a new look. Many of you have been commenting on it. I want this gray to show you and to show me. I've earned every strand of this. And it is wisdom. Thank you, Wyman. It is wisdom speaking and a new attitude. I'm not taking any excuses from myself, and I'm not taking any excuses from any of you, because I have already proven that this process and this system works, but only if you work it for your desire, not me, not mine. So, Peter, back to you, but the 6 keys to riches started all of this for me, and that would be my aha moment from this principle.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I don't even know how to come back with that, and the chat is blowing up. One interesting question from the chat for you, and before we go over to Gaylen, is especially how thick that binder is. When do you write your annual plan, Annie McNeil?
The question is when?
Yeah. I almost from the perspective of how do you carve time out to do that?
Well, interestingly, you asked the question, Gaylen and Regis Bingham, prior to our starting our reception for the IMA annual meeting, I was sharing with them, we were going through the pages of the book, right, Galen? And I was showing him, because actually, and I didn't bring it here, if I have time, I'll go back and get it. I was showing him previous books, remember, Galen, from 10 years ago. We have them from 20 years ago. I have the very first one I wrote 40 years ago. So all I am doing is building on top of the building, starting with a great, strong foundation. I'm building on top of the building. So every year, that's why I showed you 2 years. So every year I take the previous year and then I drill down in that. And I'll give you one quick example. I am the founder of the National Association for Black Women in Construction. Where'd that come from? Well, 20 years ago, it came from one line in my civic area that said that I wanted to connect with Black women in construction because I never see one. So the goal was connect with Black women. The plan up underneath that, one goal, one sentence, the plan was to begin to collect business cards. Simple. But every year I drill down deeper and deeper and deeper in that one vein, niche to be rich. I can tell you that yesterday we just finished our 13th annual meeting in Jacksonville, Florida, where we have hundreds of members now in over 15 cities across the United States. That burning desire, that one line, became now a national organization of Black women. I can say the same thing about this podcast we're on. One idea, International Mastermind Association. As we started to mastermind, everybody kept asking, how are you to do that? How do you do that? What do you do? How do I start a mastermind group? One line in my report, form an organization. International Mastermind Association is the fourth name we've called it. It started out as a mastermind association, and then Women's Mastermind Association, then Mastermind Empowerment. Now it's called International Mastermind. My point is this, to answer the question, every year, I drill down each goal, and I quantify, how am I going to measure it? And because I'm involved in mastermind groups of accountability, the mastermind group holds me accountable for that particular goal. So I wanted to make sure I properly answered the question to say this did not come overnight. And Galen is a witness, he and his brother, he saw the iteration from years ago. And there's some people on here like Carolyn Clarkson and some others that were with me and were a part of this process because on an annual basis, everybody turned their report in. And we put them all in a book like this until each of us, from our goals, it just became too large and we had to each have our own binder and create new mastermind groups. So I hope that was helpful in answering that question for whoever asked.
Very, very good stuff there. And McNeil, really quickly, how can we get in touch with you?
You can reach me. I live on text. 786-546-0184. I'm going to change my name here. 786-546-0184. But I really would prefer you text the word ANN 55678. And I will receive your information, and I will make sure we follow up with you. 786-546-0184. You can also go to my website at annmcneil.com, and I'll take a page out of Ursula's book. Please subscribe to my YouTube channel. Working on that.
Great stuff, ladies and gentlemen. You have been hearing, listening to the Master Builder. We're also going to go over on time a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. We have started a little bit late today, so stay with us, though, because we have some pearls that we're going to finish off with. And Galen Bingham, Ann McNeil said Bingham and Bingham. It sounds like a law firm. You might need to think about something else, a different path there, you and your brother. But your ahas for today, and definitely share with the audience how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, you know, so my ahas really came in listening to Ms. Ann just now. It was really kind of reinforced. And it's this, I still don't know how this process works. And I don't know that I need to know. I just know that whatever Ann has done to create a multi-million-dollar business consistent with her passions, I'm inclined to follow because I want some of that. So this is my annual report. Clearly not quite as thick, but this is my annual report. And one of the things that the process challenges you to do is to literally write down your goals for the upcoming year. Your goals for 5 years, 10 years, and 20 years as well. But for the upcoming year, what are those things that you believe that you really have a desire to do? And I'll tell you, when I first wrote my goals down, they were a bit stretched. They were outside of something that I really believed that I was going to accomplish. And I wrote 25 of them, trying to make sure I hit all 10 categories. And so here are my 25 goals that I listed. And because I wrote those goals down, because I was so focused on making sure that these goals were aligned with my desire and my passion, I can tell you right now that 8 of these 25 goals that I had no idea how I was going to achieve, 8 of them have either been accomplished already or they are well on the path to being accomplished, because there's something magical about writing down your goals, committing to them, sharing them with people who will hold you accountable. And I've got 2 people that I check in with that hold me accountable almost weekly on this daggum co-host platform. So there's something magical about that. I don't know how it works. I don't even need to know. I don't even think I need to know how it works. I just know that it does. So that's my aha, that whatever seems to be working for all these people that keep mentioning this book and this process as being one of their top most important processes that they've ever understood, I want to be part of that. So that's what I would encourage everyone to do. You don't have to understand it. You just need to understand the principles of it. My name is Galen Bingham. I'm the leadership strategist. My contact information is going to be in the chat there. The best way to reach out to me is to go to galen@killglobalcoaching.com, and that's G-A-L-E-N at K-I-L-N globalcoaching.com. And this is something that's really, really important to me, is just making sure that people understand how to have success on purpose. Any of us can be successful by accident. You can walk into a gas station on the right day and spend $2 and by luck change your life, right? That's success by chance. But it takes something different to have success on purpose. And this process seems to be at the core of that for so many people that have come before me.
Love that, Galen. Love that. You know, there's always room for growth, room for improvement, room to learn some new things. And we have been dropping some bombs, some knowledge bombs this morning for sure. And McNeil, Galen Bingham. But Ursula, we have not forgotten about you by any stretch of the imagination. So as we wrap up this phenomenal show today, Ursula, what is your aha moment around this desire chapter of Napoleon's great book? And also, how can our audience get in touch with you moving forward?
Okay, something Ann said earlier about it not being about you brought back what happened at the last year's annual meeting. One of the commitments I said was that I wanted to publish more books. I wanted to be able to have people get their stories out and really focus on getting as many people in that position as possible. And I said I was going to publish one book a month. I pretty much did that. But the reality is that I changed my program so that it truly would be a win-win. And because I realize I have experience. I've been published by a national publisher. I self-publish. Now I publish for others. I'm ghostwritten and I write my own books. And pulling all that together, I came up with what I consider a win-win. And now people are coming to me, so I know it works. And my heart in it is not the money. It is how can we get this person's story out, that single most important, somebody need to hear a story. Somebody talked about having a stroke and what that felt like. Do you know, if you may have seen somebody or had somebody in your family have a stroke, but have you heard it from the inside? I helped somebody tell that story. Someone has cancer and decided to live her best life. How do you do that? Somebody's telling that story. So when I took it off of me and put it on their story, truly and financially make a win-win for them, and I'm in business for me too. Oh, that was good. You know, so now they're calling me. I have people that I've never set eyes on that I've published their books. And it's a wonderful feeling. I mean, somebody calls me and says something that's embarrassingly nice. And it's like, oh, okay. But it started with a goal to help others and do it in volume. And that was spoken out loud, written down in my annual report, and achieved. So you can reach me, Ursula2.com. That's Ursula Odom. And you can find me on YouTube at Sula Space 2, where I interview wisdom and young legends and just have a good time talking to people because that's what I like to do. All right. So on that note, have a great day.
Good stuff, Ursula. Thank you so much. Very insightful as it relates to your reflection on desire. And ladies and gentlemen, this has been a phenomenal show. My name is Dr. Peter A. James. I am the High Performance Coach. You can reach me at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJames on any social media platform. But as we reflect on this show today and so much insight that has been provided to us all, a few things just came to the top for me. Number one, I got to print out my annual report now because I see I'm falling short for sure. So I need to burn some paper a little bit and print it out to show my people who hold me accountable. I need to show them what I'm doing as well. But this desire thing also correlates to our dreams, as Napoleon Hill says in this first chapter. And I know we have a lot of people of faith who listen to our show or and are even part of this show. And I'm going to read an excerpt from this chapter as it relates to dreaming and your desire. You may as well know also that every great leader from the dawn of civilization down to the present was a dreamer. Christianity became one of the greatest powers in the world because its founder was an intense dreamer. Work with me now. He was a dreamer who had the vision and the imagination to see realities in their mental and spiritual form before they had been transmuted into their physical form. Let me say that last part again. He was a dreamer who had the vision and the imagination to see realities in their mental and spiritual form before they had been transmuted into the physical form. So now I ask you all who are listening, you know, what is your desire that you're seeing even before it's been manifested? And then lastly, as Anne McNeil had mentioned, do you have the desire to see it through even if it takes 5, 10, 15 years? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the masterclass on desire. Think and grow rich. We hope to see you all today at the accountability meeting. But if not, we hope to see you next week, same time, same place. Take care. Please be safe.
Goodbye.